verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it be well with you and you'll live long upon the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How'd I do? I don't know which version I just quoted.
Quite a bit King James.
I think that was from the King James Version, because I'm not really sure where it is in my English Standard Version. I haven't even opened to it yet. But it's a passage of Scripture that I've quoted to myself, verse 4. I've quoted to myself often, but it comes right on the heels of, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And for being godly fathers, that's an important passage, those first three verses. It's important for moms to know what fathers have to deal with, and not just for children. So being godly fathers is not just a message for the father. It's not just a message for the for men who are parents. It's for all of us, because all of us as a church, we want to recognize those fathers and recognize their place, as Brother Jeriah had in Sunday school today, looking at that place for who we are as men and our responsibility as fathers. We have a duty that we cannot possibly uphold. We look at our Heavenly Father as we are children of God. And we look at him, and as perfect as he is, and when we take our lives and place them in comparison to our Heavenly Father who gave his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that seems like what would be the concept is not tangible. You can't put your hands on it. It's hard to grasp because it's a higher concept. It's an ideal. It's a thought when we think of the Heavenly Father. But God remedied that because he sent, as Brother Mike has been telling us in the sermon today, this morning, and also during worship today, he mentioned Emmanuel. Well, tonight he didn't use the name Emmanuel, but he did it during the service and during worship. He mentioned Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel. And that another prophecy from Isaiah says that Jesus, because the Father himself, the Heavenly Father, we know from the Scriptures who the Heavenly Father is, who God is, as a good Heavenly Father, the concept is still beyond our grasp. So God made it graspable. God made the concept graspable. He made it tangible. John even says so in 1 John chapter 1. He says, whom we have seen with our eyes, whom we've held with our hands and we've embraced, that God. And so God sent his only Son, not merely as the Son of God, not as merely as the Son of Man, but as the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He says, you want to know what I'm like? God the Father says, look at my Son, and that everything that I am, he is. And you want to know what a good father is? Though Jesus didn't sire children upon the earth, spiritually he did sire all of us through his blood-pierced, pierced side. When the blood came forth, he gave birth to every one of us, just as woman came forth from Adam. That's the reason why she came forth from Adam's side. So now we have an idea of a blessed father. And even in comparison to Jesus, fathers, we fall short. And so this is why godly wives exist. This is why godly mothers exist. This is why even single women exist, to pray for men who you all recognize are at best weak, because the best of men are men at best, and we are fallen. And unless we are broken and humbled by the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never be good fathers. We'll never be good Christians. We'll never be good men apart from the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Family is so important in God's plan that for the church is called a family. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5, we're called the family of God. And so the family is ordained in order to express the truth of the gospel. And when we see these things that we can't live up to, even as children of God, in the first three verses. So fathers, before I even get to verse 4, memorizing verses 1 through 3 for fathers is so very vital. I'm there somewhere. It's here. Oh, there it is. Ephesians chapter. I'm going to read it in English Standard Version. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Even reading it, I want to still quote it from the King James Version, because I memorized that to have my children memorize it. Not realizing that as a father, that I see how impossible it is for them to do that. When I tell my child, as a father, when I tell my child, well, you need to do this, they may do it. But if they don't honor me in being obedient, then it's disobedience. Young people, when you do what your mom and dad said, but if you have a bad attitude or have a bad heart concerning it, that's not honoring them. I'll go do it because I don't want to get in trouble. Well, that's still not honoring them. You still did what they wanted you to, they wanted you to do. You still did that. But obedience apart from honor is disobedience, because it's dishonor. Sister Tanya.
I've heard it said that if you feel like you can't have, you know, your heart's not in it, that you can ask the Lord to give you the correct heart, you know, like if you're speaking to the children.
Yes.
And they feel like, I can't feel good about it, but they can ask God to give them a good heart.
Yes, absolutely. He has given us a new heart and a new spirit when we're saved. But as Adam was made perfect and still disobeyed, I might tend to wander from that which is good and obedient. And having done so in my own life as a father, when I look at that commandment that I am holding my children to, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Obedience and honor. I recognize the impossible challenge that I am holding them up to, that I'm not even living myself. And now, as a father, I need to... Go ahead, Brother Mike.
I remember when I was young, I was just wondering how much wiggle room there was.
Yeah, obedience. And we think of this, fathers, we should be brought immediately back when we give, every time we give this command or every time we tell our children, you need to obey, you need to memorize this, these three verses in Ephesians 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What commandment is that, Brother Nick? What do you remember which commandment that is in the Ten Commandments? It's you got to grasp on it. It's like right there. Children, obey your parents, or honor your father, honor your father and mother. Remember which commandment it is. It's like right at the tip of.
What'd you say?
The fifth commandment. Okay, good. That one right there. Yes, that's why I was doing that. It's like right at your grasp. Which one is it? And you know why in the first five commandments, before it goes, the sixth commandment is you shall not kill or you shall not murder. The first five commandments express the sovereignty of God. Every one of them. God is sovereign. You shall have no other gods before me, the first commandment. You shall not worship idols or serve them, the second commandment. Idolatry is the chief sin. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? Because he's sovereign. And you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God has ordained that for that seventh day because he's created the days. He's sovereign. And honor your father and your mother because he's sovereign. Did any of you get to choose your mom and dad? Not a one. No one has been able. I mean, you could kind of say along with if you're, say, adopted, which is a blessedness too, because adoption is even more in God's plan because Galatians speaks of Galatians chapter 4 speaks of adoption. So the family of God is in God's order. That's the fifth commandment. And so when I realize that's an impossible task, it causes me to be tender. So when I read verse 4 now, my responsibility as a father, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I will now look at my children, and as a pastor, I'll look at your children, and I'll see that God has given us all an impossible task. I can't keep the obedience with honor unto the Father except by the grace of God in Christ. And as I lean upon the power of Christ in order to obey, honorably obey myself and humbly obey myself, humble obedience. Remember, I preached on that about a month and a half ago. Anyone remember what humble obedience is? Sister Keeley, thank you. Go. Humble obedience is one of the keys in the fear of God, godly fear. Humble obedience is obeying God because he is God, and its humility is that you place the results in God's hands. Because God has said to do it, you are looking for the results or the fruit of what is supposed to take place. If you go and preach the gospel, if no one gets saved, that's in God's hands, but you're humbly obedient to that. Brother Mike.
Well, and what God does is always good and better.
What God does is always good and better. So in God's timing, he'll bring the fruit from it. It might merely be fruit, for I got to have the name of Jesus upon my lips today. And so, and that's a blessing, because otherwise, apart from the grace of God in Christ, I wouldn't have the name of Jesus on my lips. That when I see what our children as fathers, when we see what our children must go through in verses 1 through 3, we don't provoke them we won't want to provoke them to anger, because we recognize that they have an impossible task before them to honorably obey. To obey your parents, young people, and in fact, all of us, because we obey our Heavenly Father with love and honor. To honor without love also means that your obedience is disobedience. Brother Mike.
Well, you know, I remember growing up, my dad would tell me to go do something, and I'd go do it, and I was always surprised at how good it felt.
How good it felt when you did something.
Yeah, I mean, the job felt good, and I didn't really hearken back to the fact that I was being obedient or anything like that. I was just kind of always so really surprised how good it felt to do those things.
You
know,
amen.
That's and I think I learned a little bit by experience, not a lot, but a little, that, you know, when you're told to do something, you go do it, it's going to feel good, you know, and, you know, it was things like weed the garden, you know, sweep the garage, pick up all that stuff you left out in the yard, you know, and I always felt good when I did that, and I didn't really think about where that good feeling was coming from. No, but I do remember that.
Yeah, that's that's intrinsic to the creation, what God had created us to do, because when he created Adam originally in the garden, he created them to tend the, or created him and then placed him in the garden, and he said, tend the garden. Work was supposed to be a joyful thing. And so it is actually never, did you have something, sister?
Well, to go along with that, we've been reading in Isaiah, and Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And that whole first chapter is about him talking to his children and them not doing what they should be doing. But when we got to that verse, I feel like I had my kids' purse, I think. But if you're willing and obedient, that's the yes with a happy heart.
Yes.
So not just doing it, not just the yes, but willing.
Being willing to do it, and not just the desire, not just the desire for it to take place, but to do the best that we can in making sure that it takes place.
It kind of goes along with what Mike was saying, that you eat the good of the land, it's good.
Right. And it's good for everyone, because when our children see that our fathers are godly, we see that dad's not, since he's not perfect, God will shade fathers recognize this, or men recognize this, or you who will be fathers who are single right now, you young men, know that your children will be, their eyes and their hearts will be shielded from the misgivings that are you, that are me, that are us, that are as men. God's so gracious that he'll, love covers a multitude of sins, and we lean upon that greatly. So we can be who we are without having to be pretentious. And when they see that we are honorably obedient to our Heavenly Father, as honorably and obedient as we can be, as the sinner saved by grace can be, then they'll recognize my father's serious about this. He's not perfect, and I see some things, but he doesn't see everything that we are, and thank God for that. But what he'll be sure of is this is what God's planning in their hearts when he does see you, that God, that my dad is a rock, a solid rock, and he's not going anywhere. Though in this day and age, though men are leaving their wives, my dad is hooked upon his lovely wife. He might joke around with her at times, egging her on or whatever. However, my dad is not going anywhere. And they see that, and that encourages them to be obedient, honorably obedient, as much as a sinner saved by grace is able. Or even those children of yours that aren't saved yet. That God will be faithful to his promise to bring those things about. Now, I went long in the devotion here, but fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To bring them up, it's a Greek word, ektrephete, I think is what the word is. I should have brought my Greek, I have my Greek New Testament, but I just wrote it down, and I think I misspelled it. But it means to cherish, to train, to raise to maturity, to bring up, to cherish, to train, to raise to maturity. So bringing them up is not just, well, I'm going to raise them and give them three hots and a cot, like they do in prison. Not just three meals and a roof over their head, but to cherish whom God in his sovereign grace has given you to be responsible for, to be a good steward for, those children, to raise them up and to cherish them. To raise them to maturity, because that's your stewardship. These are God's. Just like your wife is God's, she is a sister in the Lord, and he's given you to protect her and to love her. The children are as well. And so bringing them up is not a mere, well, let me teach you to do this. When you, the simplest thing, to hand me a wrench, you do so recognizing that he may be asking his son, my grandson, to hand me a wrench one day. Take him out hunting, how to field dress an animal or whatever it is. Take him fishing. But it's to be done cherishingly and to train in the idea that they are going to grow up. They're not going to stay where they are. They are going to be better than me in their service to God. To nurture. And that's a paideia, which means to nurture. Now that's where it means, from the Old King James Version, the word nurture, the word here is to disciple, discipline. This is where we get this discipline from, to educate, to instruct, the disciplinary correction. And that might not always, it doesn't exclude the paddle on the behind, where it says in Proverbs that do not, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child, which isn't a commandment, it's a warning. Spare the rod and spoil the child. The child will be spoiled, but you know, all children smell like that. Brother Mike.
Doesn't that passage, you'll be saving him from hell? Or
yes. Though you strike him, he shall not die, for you shall save him from
Sheol. Well, you know, I was thinking this week, I said, you know, my dad gave me the first vision of hell.
He applied the board of discipline to the seat of understanding,
well,
right?
I was being stubborn, you know. I didn't think of it.
It's to the woodshed for you, young man. But to educate, to instruct, a disciplinary correction, and though sometimes it may include the paddle, it doesn't exclude all those other things. The discipline, as we recognize, where Brother Jeriah brought it up today when we were in 1 Timothy, when he was talking about responsibilities and duties, he spoke of he brought us to a place in, I think it was in 1 Corinthians with Paul, where he spoke of in chapter 9, where he speaks of training his body. I keep my body under because I don't have the ability to do it. So I train myself to bring myself under the power of Christ.
I was just thinking of a good parental threat. Son, would you like me to give you a vision of hell?
There you go. Educate and instruct. So therefore, the nurture also will include, though, you know, that bringing them back in because they're stepping out of line. More importantly, it's going to include this right here, the Word of God. The education and instruction in the Word of God is going to be first and foremost, because if you train them in the Word of God and don't ever apply the paddle, they will be better off than if you applied the paddle and never gave them the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, is what Brother Mike preached today. It is Jesus. In the New Testament, every time you see, like it says, that the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the preaching of the cross, in the King James Version, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. The English Standard Version says, the word of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Because the word for word and the word for preaching is the word logos. And that is from, as we know in John chapter 1, the word for word. The word, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus. And so if we're bringing them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, we're bringing them up and training them to love Jesus. An admonition. It's a Greek word which means call attention to warn, to rebuke mildly. So all those things that are in the admonition, the instruction of truth from the scripture, it's this word admonition in the Old King James Version, or in the English Standard Version, it's instruction of the Lord. It's three times it's used in the Bible in the Greek, the Greek word here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, which is examples. It's the word examples, which was in Brother Jeriah's lesson today. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 10, where it speaks of a heretic, admonish a heretic after a second and a third. To admonish heretics. In other words, when your child is straying from fathers, when your child is straying from the word, admonish them, correct them, bring them back to the truth of Christ. I'm going to take you to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 to close this out. My devotional is a little bit long today. Sorry about that. But practical things can you do? Here's the instruction for us as fathers. Proverbs chapter 4. Sorry, this was fun for me. I hope it wasn't a grief for you. I'm looking at these notes. I don't know when the last time was that I preached this message, and I'm not preaching it the same way. But there's a lot more here, and I'm going to have to look these over tonight because they look very fun. I didn't know I had it in me back then. Proverbs chapter 4, are you there? Amen?
Amen.
If you're not, amen. Everyone's there. Proverbs 4, verse 1, it says, Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Verse 2, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. Verse 3, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother. Verse 4, he taught me and said to me, let your hearts hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. In verse 4, these are yours from your heavenly Father, where it says, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Many of us, men and women alike, we have had earthly fathers that, you know, whether they were saved or not, they've had their misgivings. But when we look at the Word of God, we should take every commandment from our Heavenly Father. So no father is without, you know, no father has an excuse concerning the proper nurture and admonition of the Lord, the discipline and instruction of the Lord for their children, for our children. We take this as being our Heavenly Father. Therefore, be disciplined in the things of God. Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. And then those words that we are learning from our own Heavenly Father, we're passing that down to our own sons and or our own daughters. Ladies, I don't want to leave you out, that whether it's your daughter by birth or whether it's the young ladies that the God has placed in your sphere, that you're raising them with the things that you have learned as your Heavenly Father has taught you, to minister those things for them, to be disciplined in the things of God. You may be providing moose or fish for your family, but if you're not instructing them in the things of God, which are the scriptures, you fail. It's not my job to raise your family. And I stick to that. That was a very big thing for me, that the fathers are the pastors of their homes, even though I'm the pastor of this church. And when your children come in, I will nurture your children as if they were my own. However, I won't usurp a father's authority in this church or any church that I've had the privilege to pastor. That's the father's responsibility. And anytime that I can, I will have your children to be direct them to you. And fathers, be aware of this. I will support you in this as to the end. That if I do that and you don't have the answer, you don't have to tell your children you don't have the answer. You can come to me or give me a call. I'll tell you where it is in the Bible and you can tell them. Because I don't care. I'm not seeking credit here. I want your children to grow up in this church with the testimony that Sister Etta gave when she first came here, seeing these families and how they grew. And I want to be able to carry that, because that's a good thing. That's a godly thing. And that is a Jesus thing that has been carried on from pastor to pastor. Even with Brother Mike's testimony when he was preaching today in the morning worship, he's seen pastors for the last 30 plus years here. And what a blessing God has given the Nanilchik at Calvary Baptist Church to have men of God bring forth the word of God so that we can see the families of God here in this church, even today. So here's some instructions, just some practical instructions for you. Pray and read the Bible daily yourself, fathers. They won't if you don't. And so I know that we have a lot of Bible reading fathers here, a lot of Bible reading men here. And then I emphasize that with the men. I emphasize that with everyone, but the men especially, as we are all leaders in our homes, every young man here, you're a leader in your realm, you're being raised, and if you are reading your Bible daily, those around you will take note. And then when you raise a family, they will read, when you tell them to read, that they know that it's a truth that because you do it. Read and pray with your family. When your children are praying with you, that was one of the things that was nice with my young grandson coming in, that he, though he had not been in the habit of praying in his home because his father isn't saved, that when he came to Grandpa's home, he was praying with us at our meals. And whenever we were going to do something, we prayed together in the car before we went off fishing and so forth. So the family devotions in the mornings or evenings, wherever you do, or both, mornings and evenings. Number three, encourage your children when they've done well. I've used that illustration that some folks have had have really taken to heart, whereas this is our loving Heavenly Father with us. Our works compared to Jesus are so puny. It's like Jesus paints the tapestry of the world. We got Iliumna to look at, right? We have Cook Inlet, and now it's starting to turn green and everything. It's beautiful in the Nilchik. And then when we do something, we're obedient, and even with a heart that's just filled up, it's like we drew a stick figure on a piece of paper. But God, the Father, takes that thing. Jesus takes that thing, puts it on his heavenly refrigerator, goes, look what my son did. Look at what my child did. And so we want to be as our Heavenly Father is. You know, Jesus is going to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we want to do that with our children too. When they do good, be all over it. You beat me in Battleship so fair and square. It's unbelievable. I can't even believe it. I'm reeling. It's wonderful. Where'd you learn to play Battleship like that? Hug your children and tell them you love them. You know, don't be that father. Well, when you were 1 year old, I told you I loved you, and if anything changed, I'd let you know. Don't be that father. Love them and tell them you love them. They'll know when you're lying to them. Love your wives affectionately and appropriately. Number five, love your wives affectionately and appropriately in front of your children. Well, I don't want to do a public display of affection. Okay, don't do it publicly. Do it privately among your family. Hug your wife. Love your wife. Let your children see your love for your wife, because Christ loves his beloved bride. And they see that in you. They know that, hey, the word is true. Christ gave his life for his church. Number six, make one evening a week for family night. We've been doing that as a church because of a family that wanted to have their family together along with the family of God every other Friday night. I love that. That is awesome. So make one evening, but make an evening a week for family night. Be the best of friends in your sons' lives. That's number seven. Be the best of friends in your sons' lives. Number eight, be the best man in your daughters' lives. When you're, for godly fathers, when you see your daughters, you are modeling for them what the man will be like that she is to marry. That there should be no substitutes Young ladies, look to your fathers. You shouldn't have anyone who is less godly than your father. More godly, okay. And he wants that for you. But if he's not as godly as your father, he is not the man for you. Number 9, discipline with the rod correctly, consistently, and timely. When you are applying discipline, do it correctly, consistently. Don't shirk when you have to do it. Do it consistently and do it timely. Don't wait around for a while to where it's, well, I thought that was already done with. So that those kind of, the discipline with the rod, do it correctly, consistently, and timely. Don't overdo it is the correctly part of that. And number 10, help your children learn gently, patiently, compassionately. Remember God's instructions to us. And so my last quote on this is, Pastor John, if I did all that, I wouldn't have time for television, internet, City League basketball. I did this message in Scammon Bay. I won't have time for all kinds of stuff. That's okay. If you don't have time for those things, then those things aren't important. Your family is most important. If you don't have time for television, internet, City Basketball League, fishing, those things will have to take back seat. Or, like in the case of fishing, take your family with you. Take your sons and your daughters with you.